good to see all of you here today. We really appreciate your being here to study God's Word with us this morning. And I can't express enough to you how much I appreciate you being here and the opportunity for me to teach the Word of God. I love teaching. I love studying God's Word with people. And it's a joy to me to be here and to be back in North Alabama. We were gone about 10 years and greatly missed it. Glad to be back. And there's just something about North Alabama. You know y'all different, right? Y'all just a little different, but a good different. And we appreciate being able to be with y'all. I got word after yesterday, the recordings and the videoing and all of that kind of stuff, somebody was, I don't even know, I'm technically bad. Not good. But anyway, somebody was watching somewhere and said they were getting seasick because I was running around so much. And so I'm going to try to stay pretty close right here. And if I get to wandering around too bad, Steve's going to wake me up and make me go back. But thank you for coming. This morning, we're going to continue our studies about our daily walk with God. And I don't know about you, but I think a lot about this kind of topic, about just in a very practical way, how I live my life, what I do every day. And it's important for us to focus ourselves on what's important, what really means something, what kinds of things do I need to be doing that makes a difference. And I hope that the lessons that we're talking about in the mornings and the evenings help us and encourage us. We're using as our text for these morning lessons the 1 John chapter 1 passage, verses 5 through 7. And early on, when I first started becoming interested in the Lord and wanting to serve Him, then a few years later began to preach, this passage was one that just really got my attention. Very simple language, very profound in application, and still striving after all these years to understand and apply what it's saying. But the text says, and this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a beautiful thing to walk with God, to walk in the light, to have fellowship with God. So as yesterday we talked about increasing our faith, Brother Wayne spoke to me this morning and said that that was your all's theme this year about growing your faith. And so that was kind of a coinky-dink that I hit on that. But I'm glad it worked out because I think that is so important. So every day we're growing our faith. You're reading your Bible every day. You're studying your Bible. You're praying to God. What else can we do? Well, I want to ask you a question. We greet each other all the time with something similar to this. Hey, how you doing? Response, I'm doing good. Now, there's some people we know that you can't ask how you doing because you don't have 45 minutes to listen. I mean, you just, it's continual. But anyway, how you doing? Doing good. Well, are you really doing good? Really? Well, I think our answer is how we're doing physically. And there are many times, I say this accommodatively, I think some people lie about that. They say they're doing good, and I know they're struggling, their physical ailments and so forth, but they're doing good. But I just wonder, if we could encourage each other more, but not always asking about physical, but spiritual. How are you doing? And sometimes I've had people to say to me, and I've said to others, that, how you doing? They say, oh, I'm doing good. No, I mean, how are you doing? And they go, oh, I'm not doing good. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on the earth who continually does good and never sins. That's me. That's you. I want to talk today about doing good. I'm not talking about going to the gym and buffing up and getting healthy, although that's good. That's good. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about doing good far as our daily walk with God. Isn't it great to pillow your head at night knowing that you have helped someone? Maybe you've talked to someone about the gospel. Maybe you've been able to set up a Bible study. Maybe you've talked to someone that's not faithful to the Lord, and you've encouraged them, and they're gonna come back to the Lord. Maybe some brother or sister in Christ has just been, you know, really having some difficult times, and you've talked to them, and you've prayed with them, and you helped them, and you encouraged them. I mean, doesn't it really feel good? I mean, let's talk about emotion here a little bit. Doesn't it really make you feel good that this day has been a great day because you've helped someone? You've done good. And then maybe there's been lots of days go by that if we was to just to stop and consider at the eve time, just exactly, did I help anybody today? Was there anything that I did good for anybody today? And maybe the answer is no. So if I say to you, how you doing? You doing good? Oh yeah, I'm doing great. Really? Is that what you did today? So let's talk a little bit about that. All right. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, and incidentally, there's going to be a lot of passages, and I might get going a little bit fast. You're welcome to any of the PowerPoint, not that they're anything fantastic or great or anything, but if you need the notes, you can get it electronically. It's back there on the back computer. You can thumb, you know, the drill. You can go back there and get it. If you need a hard copy, I can provide you a hard copy for that. It's on the what? On the website. There you go. It's on the website. So, in Acts 10 verse 38, the text says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth. Y'all know him, right? Know who he is? Yeah. How God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good. That's just an amazing statement to me. We're on Wednesday evenings in Anderson, we're studying the Gospel of John, and just an awesome book to study. And John even said everything that he did wasn't even recorded. But there was a whole lot of things recorded that he did. And everything that's recorded is just awesome. How he responded to people, how he taught people, healed people, just everything he did. He just went about doing good. And the Jews killed him for it. Now that doesn't make any sense at all. But if we want to be like our Lord, if we want to walk in the light, we need to go about doing good. In Hebrews 13, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Now something that there's going to be a lot more in these passages, I'm sure John and Steve's going to take this lesson, and afterwards they're going to say, that was a good lesson. And then they're going to say, well, John probably won't say that, but they're going to say that, and then they're going to say, we're going to take that material and make a good lesson out of it. All right? But I'm going to tell you something. In that passage right there, what I connect is the fact that doing good requires sacrifice. Now, let me tell you, that may be why we don't do good a whole lot. You know why? It's going to cost you something. Not just necessarily money, but your time, your energy. Sometimes to do good, it just flat wears you out. It just takes what you got. And sometimes we're just not willing to give that sacrifice. So doing good does require sacrifice. This text says, I forgot I had that next chart. All right, let's go to the next one here. In 3 John 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Seen God, experience God, have a relationship with God, walking in the light with God, fellowship with God. So doing good is all about ultimately being of God. So in your daily walk with God, here's what we do on a daily basis. Because we're of God, we do good. We seek that. We desire that. When there's opportunity, and there's lots of opportunities. And sometimes we pass those opportunities. The door is open, but we choose not to go in. And let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Now what is interesting about this verse in regards to doing good is that it emphasizes not to lose heart. And then it goes ahead and adds, do not grow weary. Do you understand if I use the expression high maintenance Christians? Elders know what that means. In other words, here's a Christian who's high maintenance. They're constantly having to work with them and deal with them because it just seems like their car is always in the ditch. Not literally, but it's they're just always having problems. Well, let me tell you, high maintenance Christians can flat wear you out. Not only wear you out physically, monetarily, emotionally, but it can just make you weary. Have you ever gotten to the point with someone that you said, you know, I have done enough. I keep helping them and I keep helping them and I keep helping them and they just don't get any better. I'm done. What does this passage say? And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we don't grow weary. One of the significant aspects of doing good is learning, and I think that's a learned ability, is we learn not to get discouraged when we're helping people and it doesn't seem to be doing any good. The flip side of that is we must think of God and how He helps us. Do you think God has any opportunity to become weary because of us? Do you think God could say, you know, I've helped that guy and I've helped that guy and it's just done no good, I'm done. Thank God that He doesn't grow weary with us. He's patient with us. He's merciful and He's kind. What should we do? Well, I think that you notice in the text, in due time we shall reap. Now, contextually, maybe we could understand that to mean, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap. Maybe it's the whatever we're doing good for this person, it's going to bring forth a fruit for them. possibly the connection would be that we shall reap in the sense of we're doing good. I think this would follow the concept of laying up for yourself treasures in heaven. And we're going to reap a benefit of trying to help and do good. But the reality of it is, either of those or both of those is that the continuance of and patience in doing good is important to the reaping. If you teach the Word of God, and especially if you do so on an individual one-on-one basis, the numbers of people that you talk to get interested in having that study, then the numbers of people that you actually get to sit down and have that study with, and then the numbers of people that actually obey the gospel. I mean, you can go through a bunches of people. But you know, when just one person obeys the gospel, and if you've ever been sitting at the kitchen table studying with someone and you see the light come on in that person's heart, the expression on their face that they get it, and you don't have to ask them, do you want to be baptized? They tell you, I want to be baptized. They're ready. They're convicted. You reap. You sowed a lot of seed. You did a lot of watering. God causes the increase. And it's to our encouragement. Doing good is really good to do. Let's notice this passage. Okay. Let's look at this passage. Galatians 6 and verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, if you look at that idea of doing good there, while we have opportunity, where does opportunity come from? Say what? Wherever we make it? I got all day. Where does opportunity come from? Huh? Somebody's talking. I can't see you. Where are you? There you are. What did you say? Blessings of God. All right. Yeah. Colossians 4, Paul asked the brethren to pray that there might be doors of opportunity, or that opportunity might be he could preach the gospel. You remember when Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock, A-S-K, ask. What if you asked God on a daily basis, please give me opportunities to do good? What do you think would happen? You think you'd have opportunities? You think there'd be doors? Now, I like what this brother, Brother Bryant said too. You know, we have to do all that we can. God supplies for us so many providentially opportunities. We have to recognize those. But as we pray about those and we look for opportunities, I may be babbling on a little bit too much about this, but let me just say it this way. Have you ever said to someone, if you need any help, let me know? That's a good thing to say, right? That's a good thing. If you need any help, let me know. Let me ask you this. If you know this person and they got a situation and You know that they need something. You know good and well what they need. And then you say, well, if you need anything, let me know. Isn't that an opportunity for you to do good? Can't you just do it? If they need, go get it. Right? If they need something paid for, pay for it. If they need something, do it, work, whatever it takes. And I think sometimes we're hesitant. We're slow to react. I don't know what to fill in there, but it seems like we have great intentions, but the actual just do it is not there. So while you have opportunity, may I suggest to us when we think about this, to all men, not just to people that look like us, not just to people that, you know, same education levels, same social, etc. We're willing to help people. Okay? Do you all know the name Gary Sandusky? Y'all know that guy? He's about three-fourths of a bubble off. He's just not exactly right somehow or another. He and I are from the same little old town. And back in his days, he was a heathen too. And this guy, long-haired, hippie, drug-smoking, doping, crazy guy, riding a motorcycle, was working at a place in Louisville, Kentucky, next to a Christian. Now, who wants to talk to a doping, long-haired, hippie, motorcycle-riding dude? Thank the Lord, this guy talked to him. Got old Gary just up and asking questions and starting to, and he will tell you, he can't hardly read. He's dyslexic. He has trouble just reading the Bible even today. Had everything against him. Somebody took the opportunity just to talk to him about God. Look what he's doing. Look what that guy's doing. Gary's a great servant of God. Because somebody took the opportunity to do good to all men. Who might you do good for that in turn might turn the world upside down? And especially those who are the household of faith. It seems that even God's word illustrates and emphasizes that if there's opportunity, we especially want to make sure that we're paying attention to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I would just say that sometimes brethren that are right in our visual front of our face are the ones that we, I think, Brother Merle, was it at the potluck the other day? You was asked about, and it was right in front of you or something other. And, you know, isn't it sometimes just what's right there? It's so obvious that it's, we don't see it. Some of my preaching buddies, Brother Steve, John, and others, they go overseas. I've been overseas and so forth. There are some preachers that think that they have to go overseas just to be able to find something to do. And that ain't true. There's plenty to do right in front of your face. And sometimes it's your own brethren. You know, there are people that come to church every time the doors are open that need somebody to do good to them. They need the encouraging word. They need the help. They need support. So we need to be aware of that. And so to me, what we've learned even this so far is that we've got to have this radar of such that we have just got to be paying attention. My wife, when she drives a car, I can't ride with her. She just drives me insane. She's very safe. She is very careful to a hurtful point. She drives her little old Mini Cooper. She just had to have that little mailbox to drive. And she drives that little old thing, and she just looks straight ahead. She don't look this way. She don't look that way. When I'm driving, I'm just looking around, you know, seeing what everything's going on. You know, I try to get a picture of the whole landscape. She just straight ahead, just like this whole time. All right? Drives me nuts. Okay, I'll get off my wife now. She's not here. And if I want her to know all of that, I'll tell her, okay? Some brethren are very tunnel vision. We've got one or two people or a little group of people that are our buddies. We sit with them. We talk with them. And it's as if the rest of the whole family of God is just invisible. That's a mistake. Paul said to the Corinthians to have the same care. The same care. For each man. Each man. Okay, gotta get off that. Need to move on. Right. Let's notice this text. Instruct them to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Powerful passage. Instruct them to do good. Well, I'm trying to accomplish that, to instruct us, to do good. We need to talk about that. We need to think about that. We need to be encouraged about that. And to be generous in good works, rich in that. And I think within that is innately the idea that, you know, we are so blessed. My guess is there are people in this congregation that have, and there are people that have not. There are people that have not much or little, and there are people that have a whole bunch. And sometimes material things can divide us. But those that have a whole bunch should be willing to help those that have little or nothing. If you've ever had the opportunity to go outside of the United States, there are lots of really, 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 really poor people in this world. And anytime I've ever gotten back from a third world country, I take a look at me. I took a look at us. And we are by far the richest people on this planet. And if anybody ought to be doing good, us. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile, and let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. You see the contrast there of doing evil and doing good. My mother, she used to have this saying. She said, you know, I don't think I'll miss heaven because of the bad stuff I've done. And she was kind of complimenting herself. She didn't do a lot of bad stuff as she was weighing it in the balance. She said, what's going to keep me from going is I'm not doing the good stuff. And maybe it's a teacher's fault or a preacher's fault from time to time, because maybe we overly emphasize, don't do this, to where many people get the idea, as long as I don't do that, and I'm cool, I'm good. But the reality is the replacement theory. You have to replace the evil with doing good. Faith is active. Faith is an action. Love is an action. Doing good is an action. And when we have faith and love and we do good, that takes the place of doing evil. I have responded to a few people this week from Anderson and so forth. They knew I'm going to be over here, of course, this week and so forth. And talked to a few brethren. How you doing? Well, I'm doing good. Keeping busy. Don't have time to get into trouble. Now we say that kind of in passing. Is that what that said? Yeah. Helping others physically. We've already mentioned that a little bit, but notice these passages. But whoever has this world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Here's a passage that this specifically addresses the idea. If we know of a brother that is in need, we have the ability, we have the opportunity. That equals responsibility to do that. And there's many times opportunities that come by that we miss, and then we say, oh, you know, I intended to give to that. I intended to help with that. I intended to get involved with that, and we missed it. We missed the boat lots of times. We've got to be aware. We've got to have our antennas up, radar, however you want to illustrate it. We've got to be cognizant of what's going on. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Now, if you look at that last part there, keeping oneself unstained by the world, that's the don't do's. Don't do that. Don't get yourself into sin. Stay away from that. Okay? Resist the devil. Mortify, crucify the flesh. We talked about last night. But in the positive side of that, he's talking about the idea of to visit orphans and widows in their distress. I'm not sure. No, I didn't. Okay. Notice it says here in the text, to visit orphans, to visit. I think we all realize that's more, that verbiage there is more than just, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Bye. You know, visit would be to see to care for. All right. But notice it says to visit orphans and widows in their distress. Here are some people that really have some issues. You know, if I don't see you or your problems, I have no mercy for you. Because out of sight, out of mind. Brother Pat, Donahue and I were talking just the other day when he was here about some of the Bible studies we used to do back in the olden days over in Huntsville. And we were talking about this one particular family that we went to see. And there was a couple of people there, children, older children, but children. And Pat had set up a Bible study with these people. And when we got there, the father had been put in jail. And the mother, we didn't know where she was. But then there's this older daughter that's there. And she's having to take care of some other siblings. And I'm just going to say this. I asked Pat if he remembered this. We went into that house. And this girl was telling us her life. What's going on? And there are roaches all over the walls. They're everywhere. I mean, it was infested. And the furniture there just had just stuff everywhere. And Pat said, I remember that one. I remember that one. Let me tell you, when you sit down with someone to talk to them about their soul, there is something about when you visit them in their distress. The old concept of trying to walk a mile in his shoes. It was kind of hard for Pat and I to know, where do you start? What do you say? The young lady was willing to study with us, and we studied with her. I don't know what happened to her. Did I mention that's in Huntsville, Alabama? There's people in bad situations right here. And if we're the kind of people that we need to be, we go out and we, in this passage here, I think applying to the individual, going out and asserting himself in your own pockets, your own efforts, to see and help other people. Are you doing good? And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Just a cup of water. My guess is, Brother Steve has mentioned this many times to you. Didn't you say Zimbabwe, where you go, is second poorest nation in the world? What's the first, by any chance? Do you know? Is it another African country, probably? Yeah. Well, my guess is Steve has mentioned this to you, but where I've gone, very, very poor third world country as well. But I have noticed this about people. These people don't have anything. And many times it's as if they don't know that they don't have anything. And when they become Christians, it doesn't make a difference that they don't have anything. They've got the Lord. Now they have needs. We try to help with that as best we can. Just a cup of water sometimes. Sometimes we think in terms that I've got to really do something big. I have to go to a third world country. I have to do this. It might, just a very simple thing. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Just observation. I believe that as Christians, we should pray. And we say, I'll be praying for you. And I do not in any shape, form, or fashion want to minimize that and say that's insignificant. But isn't it interesting in this judgment scene that Jesus didn't mention, and you prayed for people. He mentioned specifically, you went and did something for somebody. I hope you understood what I was trying to say there. You pray for people. Make sure you get out of your house and get in your car and you go somewhere and you do something for somebody. That's doing good too. Helping others spiritually. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. What a powerful thing. Already having been with a few of these your elders here, they've mentioned about, you know, having a Bible study with someone and so forth. You know, elders are so important to the local work. They're shepherding, teaching, watching after the sheep. That's so important. But so is each individual Christian as we try to help other people spiritually. How many times have we been at the worship services, or maybe went to Cracker Barrel, and you see somebody that's a member of the church, but you know that they're not faithful. They're not living right. Question. Have you ever tried to talk to that person? Afraid? Fearful? That we're going to say the wrong thing? I would rather someone just be mad all over because I talk to them and trying to encourage them to be faithful to the Lord than the day of judgment to have them say to me, "You never mentioned him to me." Now, I don't intend to talk to people, make them mad. That's not the goal. Spirit of gentleness, trying to help them and encourage them. The word restore there, used in a couple of ways, of a doctor setting a bone, of a fisherman, mending his net, right? You know, sometimes talking to someone who is not faithful is a very delicate process. Sometimes, brethren, just need to hear somebody say, "Hey, come back to the Lord." They just need to hear that. As we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. Elderly people especially encourage me when I know they are struggling physically and they come to services, they're out doing good themselves. I mean, I don't know how many times you'll see elderly people who are so full of faith and so full of zeal, but their bodies, their giddy up is done, got up and gone. I mean, they just ain't got any more giddy up. But they're out doing something for somebody else when they need somebody to come do something for them. May we all have that spirit. May we all have that kind of love for others. And the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I was impressed with Brother Watson. David, right? Watson. Taught the Bible class Sunday morning. I don't know how old he is. He seems really young. But the fact that he's teaching a Bible class and that experience and that encouragement by the elders and Steve and so forth, and you all, that's awesome. That's great. It's really good. We need more men teaching and preaching. And we encourage them to do that. That's a good thing to do. Well, hopefully I've made the point of what I believe is so strongly and vividly illustrated in God's Word. Are you doing good? I hope the next time somebody asks you, "How you doing?" you might think a little bit differently about how you answer that question. Well, we're going to sing number 276. Our brother's going to come and lead us in that in just a moment. Appreciate so very, very much your being here today and talking about our daily walk with God. There may be someone here this morning who is not a Christian. We thank you so much for coming and hope that you will study very closely the things we've talked about. And certainly if you have any questions about any of that, I'm happy to sit down and talk to you about that. Brother Steve, any number of brethren here are more than willing to talk to you. But if you know, you understand what you need to do to be a Christian, but you just have not done it, here's a great opportunity for you to obey the gospel, to put the Lord on in baptism, to have your sins washed away. Maybe that's a completely foreign concept to you. You're first time you've ever been in a church. You just don't understand or know. Maybe you don't even have a Bible. There's lots of good folks here that can get you a Bible. take the time to study with you and talk to you, answer your questions, help you to see what the truth of God's Word is. If you're interested in that, please let that be known. And if you're a child of God and you, if you answer the question, how are you doing? Well, I haven't been doing any good at all. Meaning, spiritually, you just haven't been caring about anybody but yourself. Then you need to make a change. You need to do something different. Start serving the Lord. If we can help in any way, encourage you. Why don't you come as we stand and sing.